Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Please to go out on the phone now to Dr. Wolfgang Bauer, who is chairperson of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at Michigan State University. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I appreciate so much you taking some time to be with us this evening. Of course, since the horrific events in Japan, the earthquake and then the tsunami, and now dealing with nuclear plants issues there, I wanted to go to somebody who might help me understand how worried I should be, frankly, and how worried the people of Japan should be. Where are we with what you're aware of from news reports with these nuclear plants in Japan at this point in the day?
If there's really only one reactor complex that seems to have sustained serious damage, there was earlier reports that the Onagawa Reactor 3, which had a fire in one of its turbines, had leaked some radiation, but that turns out to be very minimal, really not at all in the dangerous category. Fukushima 1 reactor complex is a different story. They have had reactor 1, the outer containment building, explode on March 11th. They seem to have incurred a partial meltdown of that reactor. Now, just to put that in perspective, that is not a large-scale release of radiation into the environment. The outer building exploded due to a hydrogen leak, but hydrogen is a naturally occurring gas, and so that was a normal chemical accident. The reactor containment building for reactor 3 experienced the same fate a couple of days later, and as of March 15th, I know we have March 14th, but March 15th has already arrived in Japan. It seems that also their reactor 2 outer containment vessel may be in danger of exploding. They have also had a hydrogen leak there. Now, all of that it clearly means increased radiation levels, but nothing on the scale of the famous Chernobyl accident of 1986.
So we're at the point of obviously a great concern and close monitoring, but the folks right there, obviously evacuating them was a wise thing to do.
Absolutely. That was very prudent. You know, the Japanese are very, very, very careful with radiation simply because, you know, they were the only country that has ever experienced a nuclear war on their soil. And so the Japanese public is very sensitized to all radiation dangers.
Well, when we hear, like, you know, when I wake up this morning and I hear that fuel rods are melting, I mean, you know, kind of panic mode goes in thinking, oh my, you know, what's coming next? Basically, because we don't understand exactly what that means. And when you hear that the fuel rods are exposed, that means something different to me than it does mean to you.
That is correct. So fuel rods consist out of uranium, highly enriched uranium, that can sustain a nuclear chain reaction. Now, the difference between a peaceful application of nuclear power and a nuclear bomb is how quickly this chain reaction is moderated and what you do with the neutrons. If you let it run away, then the thing will explode as a nuclear bomb. In order not to have that happen, you moderate these with water. And when you pump water in, so in layman's term, that basically captures some of the neutrons and prevents the chain reaction and makes it controllable. When the fuel rods are exposed, they heat up very, very quickly. And then water that comes into contact with them actually evaporates. And so you really don't want these fuel rods to be exposed, but they're not exposed to the environment. They're exposed just inside the containment core. And what that means is that when they get exposed too long, the reactor melts down, and you know, it's a $1 billion loss because that reactor core is destroyed and you cannot recover the reactor anymore. Now, it seems that all three reactors, 1, 2, and 3, are now complete losses. They have pumped seawater in, and they have pumped boric acid in, which is a neutron poison that stops the chain reaction. But that means that these reactors never can be recovered anymore. So these are huge financial losses, but they haven't released radiation into the environment on the level of a Chernobyl. The radiation release was, significant, but not lethal for anybody.
Well, you're telling us and explaining this so that I'm actually getting this, Doctor. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. Saying that they're complete losses, I mean the financial loss of the nuclear plants themselves, much less the power they were providing. This tragedy is just going to go on and on.
Yes, I think the financial losses that the nuclear power companies there incur will be absolutely dwarfed by the other financial losses in this area. The Kobe earthquake of a few years ago was not quite as powerful as this one, also in Japan. And conservative estimates have it at over $100 billion losses. The Sendai quake, I would think, will exceed that by at least a factor of two.
It is unbelievable. So when we're hearing about people getting iodine tablets and so forth, and we've just got about a minute left, these are precautionary, and again, because the folks in Japan are familiar with dealing with this and being ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. So they take iodine tablets so that radioactive isotopes of iodine that may be in ambient air at trace levels cannot be built into their own thyroid glands. So that's why you take these. By the way, the U.S. 7th Fleet and the Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier are also in the vicinity to provide help. And they were also moved as a precautionary measure because people detected radiation on maybe what you would naturally get in a month. They got it in an hour. And so they moved the entire 7th Fleet further away from these reactors so that the U.S. service personnel is not in harm's way.
Well, amazing information. I appreciate so much you helping myself and my listeners understand and put it into perspective. Thank you so much, Doctor, for your time this evening.
You're welcome.
Very good. We've been speaking with Dr. Wolfgang Bauer, who is chairperson of MSU Department of Physics and Astronomy. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.